הווה נגילה, הווה נגילה, הווה נגילה ונשמחה. הווה נגילה, הווה נגילה, הווה נגילה ונשמחה. הווה נרננה, הווה נרננה, הווה נרננה ונשמחה. הווה נרננה, הווה נרננה, הווה נרננה ונשמחה. אורו אורו אחים, אורו אחים בלב שמח, אורו אחים בלב שמח, אורו אחים בלב שמח, אורו אחים בלב שמח, אורו אחים, אורו אחים בלב שמח. Hello everybody, and let us be happy and wake up with a happy heart, because that is what the song says, and this is your host singing, not the greatest, but from the heart. I want to welcome you again to the Judge Eve Show. We have a wonderful show today, and I'm so pleased to really introduce Pastor Bill Whidden. He leads Bible tours to Israel. He writes Bible tidbits about Israel. And before I introduce him, I just wanted to say a couple of words first, if I may. First, thank you all so much. I've received over 25,000 comments on my website at www.judgeeve.com, and I'm just overwhelmed by your kindness, all of you. And I want all of you to go on trips with Pastor Bill to Israel. And Lord, we humble ourselves before you. We thank you and praise you. Let the words of our mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. And Lord, intervene in the situation with Syria. Let the truth about it come out. And let there not be another war, Lord. We need your intervention for peace for the whole region. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And let me introduce Pastor Bill. Let me just say about you. You're now an instructor at Seattle Bible College, from where you graduated in 1981. And what amazes me is you were in Guam and assistant director for Teen Challenge. You married with your wife, Claudia. You have 5 children, and all that time you had a chance for that as well, and 6 grandchildren. And you've been leading tours, biblical tours to Israel for several years now. This will be, I think, your 6th in November, this coming November. And let me just introduce you, Pastor Bill. I'd like to say you've been senior pastor in Michigan for over 5 years, and you're now lay leader in your church, where I think you've been attending for over 30 years, and you're a businessman in Everett, Washington. So you're sort of my neighbor in the state of Washington. Welcome to the show, Pastor Bill.
Thank you, Judge Eve. It's great to be on the show with you, and we pray for special blessings and for lives to be touched.
Yes, and is there anything that you particularly would like to pray about before we start the show?
Yes, I will pray.
Please.
Heavenly Father, we thank you, first of all, for the redemption through the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
I thank you that you put our sins into the deepest part of the sea. I thank you that you put our sins as far as the east is from the west. You cast them behind your back, and you do not remember them anymore.
Amen.
Thank you for forgiveness. Thank you for redemption. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Pastor Bill, you said something to me before we started the show. But before we go on, I'd like people to know to contact Pastor Bill. If you would like to go with him to Israel, he'll describe what he does. You contact him at whidden.bill@gmail.com. That's W-H-I-D like David, D like David, O-N like Nancy, dot, and then the name Bill, B like boy, I-L-L, @gmail.com. So that's whidden.bill@gmail.com. Pastor Bill, tell me, please, how long were you saved, and how did you find Jesus in your life?
Well, in 1972, I was stationed at Whiteman Air Force Base in Missouri, and I didn't want to spend my whole time in the Air Force in the States, so I put in for worldwide, and I got orders to go to Guam.
That's how you ended up there. Yes.
Yes, that's how I ended up in Guam. I was in the Air Force. But before I left Missouri, I went to visit my sister-in-law, who gave me a book called The Late Great Planet Earth.
You kidding? You and too? Me too.
Yes. Yes.
Hal Lindsey, right?
And then,
yes.
Hal Lindsey, yes.
Yep.
And at the end of, and so I went to Florida to visit my aunt, and then I got on a Greyhound bus. My denomination is Greyhound. I got saved on a Greyhound bus.
You kidding?
I was reading that book on the bus going from northern Florida to southern Florida to visit my mother.
Yes.
And at the end of chapter 6, Hal Lindsey makes the statement, if you feel like you haven't been living your life pleasing to God, then ask Jesus to come into your life and help you to live your life pleasing to God.
I got goosebumps.
I have used that prayer now for 40, that was January 16th, 1973. I have used that same prayer for 40 years.
Wow.
When I pray with people for salvation, and it still works.
You want to hear something? I got saved February 7, 1974. Isn't that something? And that book was...
Far apart.
And we both between 3 and 21, depending, right?
Yes.
So go ahead. So did you immediately go to a church after that, or what did you do after you prayed that prayer of salvation?
Well, after I prayed that prayer, I didn't understand what had happened because I had only been to church 4 times in my life. I was 21 years old.
Wow.
But I didn't know anything about church. 10 days later, I was on the island of Guam. And there was a gentleman in the Air Force, and if you asked him how tall he was, he would tell you 5'20". Tall, red-headed guy.
That worked in the same
area that I did.
Yeah.
And he would carry his Bible around.
Oh.
Now at that time they were still bombing Vietnam every 12 hours. 60 planes took off and 60 landed.
How far was Guam from Vietnam, by the way?
About 12 hours. It was 6 hours there and 6 hours back. And they got refueled. They would fly to Vietnam, do their thing, and as soon as they turned around to come back, they'd be refueled in the air.
Wow.
And then they'd come back to Guam.
Did you fly those missions also?
No, I was ground support, so I helped take care of the vehicles that the crew members used.
Yes. By the way, why did that gentleman say he was 5'20"? Was he in fact 5'2"?
I even remember his name, and he told me he was from Washington State. And when I moved to Washington State, I looked up every Bill Bates in the state of Washington trying to find him, and I wasn't able to find him. So.
Yeah,
I'm waiting till I get to heaven, and I'll see him then.
Unless he moves to another state, you know, and maybe he won't hear this program.
I know.
We send you Archangel Michael and all your hosts to bring Bill Bates to Bill Whidden right now, in Jesus' name.
That's right. I would love that.
But why did you say?
He was there, and somebody had given me a book on how to be a Christian without being religious, and I was reading it. And he came up to me and asked me if I was a Christian. I said, well, I was born in the United States. Of course I was a Christian. And he asked me what denomination I was. And I said, Protestant. That's all I knew. You were either Protestant or Catholic. Well, he was real smart. He said, you know, there's a great Protestant church right off base here. And it was a full gospel church and a live church. He didn't get into denominational things. He just talked about Jesus, and I ended up going to church there.
Oh, and by the way, what did he mean when he said he was 5'20"? Meaning that he was 20? Oh, my.
He was 6'8".
Can you tell I'm from a Polish background?
He was kind of like Saul. He stood out above all the other guys.
Yes. Shoulders and head above everybody, right? So how did you end up being the assistant director for Team Challenge? And then I'd like us to talk a little bit about Team Challenge, because it used to be a wonderful, wonderful organization.
Well, it was the Team Challenge Coffee House used to meet at the church annex where I started going to church.
Yes.
And then eventually we opened a coffee house that was open 7 days a week, every evening from 6 to midnight.
Wow.
And during those days, we were averaging 30 people a day being saved.
What? Teenagers or old ages?
Mostly teenagers. A lot of high schoolers.
Yes.
You know, it was the coffee house. That was the kind of the craze back then, so to speak.
Yes. Yes.
Coffee houses were very popular, and we had trained counselors there.
Wow.
And we would have a gal and a girl there every night of the week, and usually a married couple.
Yes.
Were there and to supervise, but people would come in hurting, looking for hope, looking for something that could
yes.
change their lives, and we were able to offer them.
Why don't you describe Teen Challenge? Because remember, I'd asked you if you knew Pastor Dewberry, who was the head of Teen Challenge in Australia, and I knew it used to be a very
right.
active organization for kids, right, especially on drugs. Isn't that what Teen
yes.
Challenge was?
Yes. I have not been involved with Teen Challenge for many years, but there's still one here in the Seattle area.
Really?
I know there's one in Spokane, Washington, because I have a friend who has a son that is in that program.
Okay.
And the interesting thing about Teen Challenge,
yes.
years ago they did a study on why Teen Challenge has the success rate that it has.
Yes.
In other words, the typical government rehabilitation programs would have like a 2% success.
Wow.
But
wow.
Teen Challenge, for people that had gone through the program
yes.
and had been out of the program for 5 years, had an 80% success rate.
Wow. Because, you know, I have four children. My third daughter had been on drugs since she was 14, and it's a heartbreak. I used to represent kids on drugs, and then to have, you know, in your own home, and she got to finish college. She went a year and a half to law school, but then she was back on drugs. We haven't seen her for years. I wish, and she had accepted Jesus in her life. Boy, I hope she finds Teen Challenge. I didn't know they were still in existence. That's what amazes me.
Yes, they are. They're worldwide. It's still a pretty big organization.
Wow.
But they have them in all the major cities.
Wow. What do you attribute
to when
success?
I pastored in Michigan, I personally knew the director for Teen Challenge in the Michigan area, but it's still a great work.
And may I ask you, what do you attribute their 80% success rate as compared to the government's success rate of 2%?
Well, what they found in the survey was it was the change of life, the change
yes.
of a heart.
Yes.
And the power of the Holy Spirit that made the difference.
It enabled them.
Basically, it was God that made the difference.
Amen. Amen. And have they made studies beyond 5 years to see if they remain drug-free, or
well,
do you know?
That's the only one I knew of then. But
yeah.
See, I was an alcoholic.
You were. God bless you.
I would not have admitted that I was an alcoholic, but after I became a Christian
yeah.
and began to study drugs and alcohol and so forth,
yes.
from a counselor's perspective, see, I used to drink 24 cans of beer a day.
You're kidding. Wow. Did you gain weight, too?
Oh, yeah. In 7 months, I gained over 50 pounds.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow.
I went into the Air Force.
Yes.
And I tried to change. I said, I'm going to change. Whenever I had a problem
yes.
before I became a Christian, I would just leave town.
Oh, you escaped. You ran away.
Back.
Yeah. In other words, you...
Once I met the Lord and
yes.
I ended up on the island of Guam, I came back to the States
yes.
and went all the way back to Guam.
You did? How come?
Well, I got out of the Air Force on Guam.
Yes.
And I came, and if the way it works in the military is if you are discharged outside the United States, You have, for 1 year, you have a free ticket to go back to your city of origin. Mine was Cleveland, Ohio, because I live near Cleveland. And so I used that ticket to come back. But while I, and then I went to Christ for the Nations Institute in Dallas, Texas.
And
my wife and her family came to Dallas for a week. And that's where I proposed to my wife, who's in Dallas.
And is that where you met her, at Christ for the Nations, or you just happened to meet in Dallas?
No, we actually met on Guam.
Oh, you did? How funny.
At the challenge. Yeah, we met on Guam. Her family was back in the States at the same time I was. That was, that would have been August of 1974, and we got married in December. We got married on Friday the 13th.
How
lucky.
December
1974.
And it just shows.
We completely blew apart that idea that Friday the 13th is a bad day. It's not a bad day. It's one of the, it's the day the Lord has made, and we have now been married almost 39 years.
That's incredible. And I'm so glad you say that, because, you know, people go into all kinds of things that they've heard, you know, from the parents and grandparents, none of which is true when you're in the Lord anyway, right?
It's That's right.
The belief in Him that gives us freedom from everything. So did you then go back to Guam? Did you then go back to Guam with your wife, or what happened?
Well, I proposed to her in Dallas in August of 1974, and she was still with her family, but they were on their, they were vacationing, and they were on their way back to Guam. And so she went back to Guam with her family, and I went back to Guam by myself. And I was working in Teen Challenge Guam when we got married.
I see. But as a civilian at that point, right?
What's that? I'm sorry.
You were a civilian at that point. You were no longer in the Air Force.
That's correct. I had I got out of the Air Force in April of that year.
I see. So how long did you?
1974.
How long did you stay in Guam then after you returned there?
We left Guam in the spring of 1976.
So you stayed for
Came back and went to Bible school for 4 years at Seattle Bible College. Then we went back to Guam. By that time, by the time we went back to Guam, we had three children. And we went back to Guam as the associate pastors. Under my same pastor that I basically got saved under, Pastor John Burke. And he was a missionary there for over 30 years. And then we were there for a couple years and had another child. And then we came back to the States, and through some friends that we knew on Guam, we ended up in Michigan.
And
pastoring a church in Michigan.
And you were the senior pastor there, right?
Yes, I was.
So what made you leave Michigan? And I take it you then moved to the state of Washington, or how did that go?
Circumstances were such that we ended up needing, not needing to, but we felt we were supposed to leave Michigan. And so my wife's family is from the Seattle area, being Tacoma, Steilacoom. And so that was a natural thing to gravitate back to here. We've been back here ever since 1991.
Oh, my goodness. That's a long time. And you're in Everett, Washington, which is just north of Seattle, right?
That's correct.
And now you teach at the same Bible college to which you went. What are you teaching at the Bible college?
Well, I do teach at Seattle Bible College. It's in Everett.
This
next Monday, I start a class. That is Israel and Bible prophecy.
Because we're going to get.
I love to talk about Israel. I love to teach about Israel. I love to teach and what prophecy has to say. The last month or two, I've been studying the book of Ezekiel, and in January, I'm going to teach that at the Bible College.
And, of course, let me just tell people that you do lead Bible tours to Israel, And there's one coming up in November. Excuse me, and let me just give your email for people who would like to go on that trip or contact you for any reason. It's widen.bill@gmail.com. Excuse me, that's W-H-I-D like David, D like David, King David, O-N like noon, dot Bill, B like boy, I-L-L, at gmail.com. Excuse me, again, widen.bill@gmail.com. That's incredible, yeah. You know, because you're not Jewish, but you love, and you know, I'm, of course, a Sabra. You know what that is, right?
That's somebody that's born and raised and is a Jew. Yeah.
And in Israel, exactly.
And born in Israel, that, yes, I should have said that. Born in Israel, yes, I know what a Sabra is.
And do you know why?
Yes, I do.
Do you know why they're called Sabras?
Well, this is what I was told. It's because on the outside, a Sabra is actually a cactus.
Right.
And on the outside, it's hard and prickly, but inside, it's very sweet.
That's exactly right. They got big mouths, but you know, but they're really tender-hearted. You know, in Israel, and I don't know if they still do because I haven't been there for so long, but they used to sell the cactus fruit, you know, the sabra in the street, and they would, you know, they'd have the thorns and remove the thorns, then make two circles on the two edges. It looks like egg-shaped type fruit, and then make a long slice, long side. And when you eat the fruit is very sweet. That's why they call them sabras. You know, big mouth, but tender hearts. You know, so you touching my heart. You know that, don't you?
I'll have to send that tidbit that I... What the other thing that people can ask for is, for the last 7 years, in March of 2006, I started sending out tidbits on Israel and Bible prophecy.
Yes.
And I wondered how I would get 25 or 30. And this morning, I sent out number 403.
Wow. I know I get them and I love them and I'd like you to talk about them as well. Tell us what...
I can promise people that if they ask for my tidbits, they will not get any junk mail from me or anything like that. It's just a tidbit once a week, usually on Saturday morning, that on Israel and Bible prophecy... something, the one I sent out this morning had to do with what Stalin said in relation to the nation of Israel being born. He was actually for it at one point in time.
You're kidding. Tell us, because I really want us to concentrate on your trips as well. But what does he say? I didn't get to read it. What does he say? What did he say about the nation of Israel?
Well, I'm getting it here. He said, now this is found in a book called O Jerusalem by Larry Collins and Dominique, I think it's LaPierre. I'm currently reading that book for the second time.
Wow.
But in 1947, the world was discussing if the Jews should have a land they could call their own, and it was specifically concerning the land of Palestine.
Yes.
A friend of David Ben-Gurion, the first prime minister of Israel, who was a senior official of the United States government, stopped by to visit David.
Yes.
This man told Ben-Gurion that he had recently been in a high-level meeting, and its participants were Franklin Roosevelt, Winston Churchill, and Joseph Stalin, and the subject was Palestine.
Suddenly,
he said the Russian dictator had turned to Churchill. There was only one, and he said there's only one solution to the Arab-Jewish problem in Palestine. Stalin told Churchill the solution the Soviet Union was going to support is it is a Jewish state.
Wow. You know, I was in Jerusalem. I'm sorry.
Isn't that amazing how God can use an ungodly ruler and leader of a communist country to... Like using Nebuchadnezzar for the Lord to get his purposes done.
Amen. Amen.
In Israel.
You know, I was in Jerusalem at that time. I was born in Jerusalem, and I was there during the War of Independence. You know, part of my life is the creation of Israel, because we were there during the siege in 47. You know, as a child, my father used to say to me, don't ever forget you were born in the city most important to the three main religions in the world, Judaism, Islam, and Christianity. Isn't that something? And for Stalin, for Stalin to say that, you know how it says in the Bible, you know, with Pharaoh, the heart of man is in the hand of God. And remember how God hardened and softened Pharaoh's heart so that the Israelites could leave Egypt,
that's right.
You know. Under, so here is another example. He softened that guy's heart. A guy, wasn't he half Jewish, by the way, Stalin, or do you know?
I don't know.
Yeah, I think I read.
I don't know.
I think his mother, and I know his daughter. I'm sorry.
So
go ahead.
Eve, there's another scripture that comes to my mind.
Yes.
Because I like Bible prophecy and I teach on Bible prophecy, the first question people ask me these days is,
yes,
what do you think about the situation in Syria?
That's what I was going to ask you. Yes.
But it's important that we interpret Bible prophecy by what the Bible says and not by what the world situation says.
Yes.
I can tell you what the future of Syria is.
What?
It's in Isaiah chapter 13.
Yes, go ahead,
please. Might be Isaiah. But there's a scripture in, I don't know if we have time, the scripture I wanted to point out is in Jeremiah 31.
Yes, please.
Verses 35 through 37.
Yes, go ahead, please.
Thus says the Lord, which gives the sun for a light by day and the ordinance of the moon and of the stars for light by night, which divides the sea when the waves roar, the Lord of hosts is his name. If those ordinances depart from before me, says the Lord, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation.
Wow.
So the only thing, if the tides can stop rolling,
yes,
and the sun can stop shining, and the moon can stop shining, and if all these things happen, then and only then will Israel no longer be a nation.
You could make me.
The Bible says that Israel will not cease to be a nation.
Amen. And you're making me cry because thank you. You know, Jerusalem is going to be the capital of the world. People don't understand that, you know. And
it's also going to be the capital universe.
Of the universe? Wow.
Yes.
How do you mean?
Well, not only will it be the capital of this world, but remember, there's going to be a new Jerusalem.
Right.
It's in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, when we talk about Abraham, it says, Abraham looked for a city whose builder and maker is God.
Wow.
He was a pilgrim and a sojourner on this planet. His hope was eternal. He said, I look for a city whose builder and maker is God. His hope was not that the world's going to get better.
Yes.
But his hope was in God and that there's an eternal city, the New Jerusalem, that he's going to be a part of.
You know what? We have to go to a break in about half a minute, but I saw the New Jerusalem coming down to earth. I have to tell you about it. You know, I have a problem. I'll start it, and then we'll finish it after the commercial. I saw this huge, what looked like a huge spaceship, you know, bigger than an island. And it's funny, I think it's in the book of Revelation, chapter 19, that it talks about it being so many fathoms. I forget exactly what it says.
Yes.
It had all these colored lights around it, and under it were like electromagnetic sine waves, you know, S-I-N-E. You know what? Let me finish it after the break because we have to go to a short commercial, and we'll be able to talk during the commercial. Hello, this is Judge Eve Ellingwood, known also as Cohen Sternlight. I'm so glad to be on bbsradio.com every other Saturday, like this Saturday, June 2nd. I have a website, www.90210holocaust.com. That's HOLOCAUST.com. The story of my parents' murder in Beverly Hills by my brother and sister and the theft of their millions. I've written a couple of books, but one of them is available on the website as an e-book, Diary of Sober Faith in Action. Also, I am a prophet, I am a seer, and I am a healer, and people are interested, I can set up appointments to help people for a fee, and it will depend on what's involved and what has to be done. And to reach me, you can reach me by my email, eejudgeeve79@gmail.com. That's E like elephant, E like elephant, J U D like David, G like George, E like elephant, E like elephant, V for victory, E like elephant, 79@gmail.com. I look forward to hearing from you and hearing what else you would like to hear on the show and what help you might need. Also, legally, especially for people who are unemployed, I can help. I cannot give specific advice, but I can help. Maybe also political issues and other legal issues and spiritual issues. Thank you. Look forward to hearing from you. Hello again, everybody. This is Judge Eve with a wonderful, wonderful Pastor Bill Whidden, whose email is Whidden, whidden@bill.com, who leads Bible tours to Israel and writes Bible tidbits. And I wanted to finish my story about seeing the New Jerusalem, and he has Bible verses about Syria, which we need to hear. So anyway, I saw that huge, huge, huge spaceship, and it had like these sine waves. I knew they were electromagnetic. You know, they look like waves, you know, equal waves up and down. And I had the understanding that people either get up higher in God or they would be killed. And about a month later, I saw the waves. I saw it again, and the waves came to a point. And an engineer friend of mine said the amplitude increased. In other words, the New Jerusalem was closer. And, you know, in Isaiah 14, it says how, you know, many people will die, you know, the tender-hearted and the evil-hearted ones. And if the evil-hearted don't go up spiritually, they'll just die, just like that. So go ahead, please tell us about the Bible verses about Syria. That is so important, please.
Yes, if people ask that question today, that's the number one question I think Christians ask is, what does the Bible say about Syria? Well, in Isaiah chapter 17,
yes,
the first verse says, the burden of the Lord, or the burden of Damascus, has to do with Damascus. Behold,
yes,
Damascus is taken away from being a city, and it shall be a ruinous heap. And if
my
you go through the chapter,
yes,
you see the phrase, in that day, in that day,
yes,
in that day.
Yes.
And that's referring to the end times. Now,
wow,
the last verse,
yes,
says, it says, and behold, at eventide trouble, and before the morning he is not.
Wow.
This is the portion of them that spoil us, and the lot of them that rob us.
Wow.
Now, you know, Judge Eve, when you go to Jerusalem,
yes,
Jerusalem has been destroyed and rebuilt, destroyed and rebuilt, destroyed and rebuilt.
Right.
Damascus is the oldest known city in the world.
Really?
You can still walk down the street called Straight,
yes,
that Paul walked down. But the Bible says that one day it will be there, and the next day it will be gone in the morning.
Wow. You know how you read something and you don't really comprehend it at the time? Oh, my goodness. So you think this is the time that it will be made a heap?
Well, I documented a few years ago when Prime Minister Olmert was the Prime Minister of Israel.
Yes.
He said to the President of Syria, if you attack us with anything but conventional weapons, and of
yes,
course that's what we're dealing with now,
right,
Damascus will be gone according to Isaiah 17.
You're kidding. Wow. Wow. See, this is why people need to go with you on your trip. When is your next trip scheduled? November what of this year?
My next trip that's available is November 19th.
And how many days?
It's 10 days.
Yes.
You go, my wife and I are going to be there for a whole month because we have two groups going, one at the beginning and one at the end of November, and I'm going to stay in an apartment in Jerusalem for 2 weeks.
Oh, my goodness.
But we go to Galilee. You take a boat ride on the Sea of Galilee. You see how the fishermen fished back in Jesus' day.
Wow.
Capernaum, Sermon on the Mount, the different places. Yes. We try to go up to Caesarea Philippi, but that's right on the border of Syria.
Yes.
So it just depends on what's going on.
Yes.
Of course, we go to Mount Carmel. One of the things that really amazed me when I
yes.
first went to Israel and I stood on Mount Carmel and I looked at the Valley of Armageddon.
Yes.
And it talks in the Bible how the blood will flow to the horse's bridle.
Yes.
In that valley.
Wow.
The valley is 1 mile wide and 30 miles long.
And people don't realize that, you know, which means it
will
be flooded.
That's how devastating it's going to be when the judgment
yes.
of God comes.
Yes.
On this world and on the people of this world for rejecting his son, Jesus Christ.
Yes, my goodness, you know, I'd never thought about that. That means there'll be so much blood in this huge area that will reach about 2 or 3 feet up, right? A horse's bridle would be about 2 or 3 feet.
A horse's bridle? I'm not a horse person.
Yes.
But I believe a horse's bridle is a good 3 to 4 feet anyway, if
wow.
not just a little bit more.
Wow, wow, wow. And by the way, tell
well, we
people...
We go to Mount Carmel, where Elijah called down fire from heaven.
Yes.
We go to Megiddo.
Yes.
We go, of course, Caesarea by the sea.
Yes.
Nazareth, all those places.
Yes.
People can be baptized in the Jordan River.
Wow.
You know, people say, well, I was baptized once. Well, that's okay. It's just, it's a rebaptism, and to say you're baptized in the Jordan River.
Exactly.
I've done this, but...
Have you?
And, of course,
oh.
we go down to Masada. For those
wow.
that want to swim in the Dead Sea,
uh-huh.
that's we can do that too.
Oh, you know.
And of course, there's nothing like riding up
yeah.
the highway up to Jerusalem. Remember, Jerusalem is 3,000 feet above sea level,
and that's what people
the Dead
don't
sea
realize.
Is 1,300 feet below sea level.
Right, and it's isn't that the lowest?
It takes you a half hour to get there.
And isn't that the lowest point on Earth? The
lowest
the
point on Earth.
Yes.
And the Sea of Galilee is 700 feet below sea level.
Really? See, you can
yes.
teach people things that they've never known before. My goodness. You know, I had swam in the Dead Sea when I was 7 first time. And, you know, it's very, very
mm-hmm.
heavy with minerals. And I'm a good swimmer, but I
oh,
jumped
yeah.
in. I started to swallow
did
water.
You know, Judge
yes.
Eve, did you know that the Dead Sea is worth, dollar-wise,
how
more
much?
Than all the oil in the Middle East.
Because of all the minerals, you mean?
Because of all the minerals.
Wow. You know what, though? A few years ago, I was reading that it's receded so much that you could see where the earth was covered by the water. Have you noticed that? Have you seen that?
Oh, yeah. It goes down. They're trying to decide how to fix that. But did you know that the Bible says that the Dead Sea will be healed?
No,
there's
I didn't.
Going to be, this tells us this in Ezekiel.
You're kidding.
And there's going to be a river flowing out of the temple.
Of Jerusalem.
To the east.
Oh, my God.
And it's going to go down to the Dead Sea, and the Dead Sea will be made alive.
Yes.
And there'll be fish in the Dead Sea just like there is in the Great Sea.
You know, when you're saying that, I remember that from the time we learned that in Israel. You know, we have to study the Bible over and over again, you know, and all the interpreters.
Yes.
All my, and, you know, I have to tell you, Jesus is coming back in my lifetime. He had me say that.
Yes,
about
I believe that.
So what we're seeing are all the events which would lead to his coming again, right? Oh, my God. People,
very
you've
definitely.
Got.
Definitely. The greatest event
yes.
that has happened. That we know we're in the last days is the rebirth of Israel.
Yes, yes.
You know, in 1850,
yes.
in the 1850s, Mark
yes.
Twain
wow.
visited Israel. And he
did?
Said, this is the most God-forsaken place on this earth. Why would anybody want to live here?
And it became
oh,
the land.
It is so beautiful to ride on the bus and read Ezekiel 36.
Yes.
And look at all the fruit, all the banana trees. And this last time we rode down from the Sea of Galilee down to the Dead Sea, And they had row after row after row after row out of date palm trees.
Yes, I remember that.
Just row, little teeny tiny stubs. But
yes.
They're growing them in the desert, and they've invented the irrigation methods, the drip form of irrigation, where they save. You know, here we have sprinklers where they just sprinkle all the land.
Right.
When you're growing wheat or whatever. It's very specific.
Yeah.
And they don't waste water. But the land, Israel doesn't import any food.
It's all grown in Israel now? Everything?
It's all grown in Israel.
Wow.
And every day, the Allenby Bridge going into Jordan, it's lined about a mile long with trucks taking produce outside to Jordan.
To the Palestinians.
Did you also know that Israel is the number one producer of tulips and roses?
No. You know how you
and
think
every,
of Holland?
So every morning, they load up plane loads of 747s with tulips on them.
Wow.
They fly them to Amsterdam. They go in one side.
Yes.
And the people of the world buy them from the other side.
Thinking.
So the enemies of Israel, if there's an Arab in one of the Arab countries that has tulips on their table, they were grown in Israel.
How funny. And you see, you think of Holland as being the producer of tulips, right? I can't believe
it. That's right.
It.
They aren't the number one producer of tulips.
Wow.
And in fact, just on this last trip, our tour guide told us that they are now the number one producer of roses. And, of course, 90% of the jewelry business is done in Jerusalem now.
I did not know that. I knew diamonds, right? You know, like Belgium was supposed to be a center for diamond cutting. And
well,
I knew...
diamonds, jewelry, that would include diamonds. Well, most of...
Yes.
We have to remember that most of the diamond people in Europe...
Yes.
And were Jews.
I know.
Well, they've moved. Have you ever thought of the word Jewry?
No, of course.
Jew-ry.
Oh my God!
Jewry.
In other words, the word jewelry includes the word Jew. I had never realized
that.
Oh,
that's
my.
Right.
Pastor Bill, let me say, people, you've got to join Pastor Bill on the trip. If I could afford it, I'd be going with him. And it's to contact Pastor Bill, it's Whidden, W-H-I-D-D-O-N dot Bill, B-I-L-L, at gmail.com. So, Pastor Bill, they can either go November 19 or again the end of November, did you say? You have another trip?
No, November 19th, or the next trip that's available will be the end of February, the first part of March. Right now, it's the first part of March.
Okay, and why are you staying there a month? I thought you said there was another tour, which is why you're staying in Israel.
Well, that's a specific tour with a person that's getting a group together.
Oh,
but that's not. It's a little bit. It's a special circumstance. We're going to be there for you, but I still have room for probably 15 people on the trip at the last half of November.
That's okay. In November 19, you mean, right?
Right.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh,
November
19.
And what we're doing right now is what we do all day long.
And what is that?
We talk about these Bible verses while we're on the bus, and we get off and see these places.
Yes.
We talk just like you and I are talking right now all day on the bus.
In other words, you refer every situation to what the Bible says about it, and you show how...
That's correct.
Biblical, and that's what you mean, that you into biblical prophecy as it covers Israel, right?
That's right.
Have you thought of writing a book about all of that? Because people really don't know. You know, they know the verses here and there, but they don't know the whole picture, which I feel like you do. You know exactly what God is doing right there in Israel and the Middle East.
Yeah, I've had people ask me, and I've actually had somebody who publishes books that wants to put my tidbits on Israel and Bible prophecy into.
Yes.
Most of what I'm talking about, I have sent out as a tidbit at one time or another.
So why don't you collect all of them, make them a book,
That's a good thought. I know it's.
Yes.
I'm not against that.
And when you do that, I'll advertise it to everybody because I think what you know and what you have to say is so important. And you notice what I always say, little tiny Israel. Tell people, how big is Israel? What are the measurements mileage-wise from north to south and east to west?
Well, it's a, they compared size-wise to about the state of New Jersey.
Yes.
But in the Seattle area, I don't know, I'm trying to think of another area, but in Seattle, it's like driving from Seattle to North Bend.
Which how many miles would that be? I don't know.
Oh, I would say what? Well, there's some parts of Israel. If
yes.
Israel was to give up the West Bank, there's some parts of Israel that
yes.
would only be 9 miles wide.
Exactly. That's what people don't realize. Isn't that
awful?
Yeah,
if they give up the West Bank.
Yes.
But see, on the West Bank
yes.
is the city of Hebron.
I know.
The city of Bethlehem.
Yes.
And these are cities that belong to Israel.
I know. And
that's
what
Jesus
said.
Yes. It's also the piece of property that was promised to the tribe of Judah.
Exactly. Exactly. I know. You know what? I'm a descendant of the tribe of Judah. How do I know that? I don't know. I know that, or either my grandfather told me one time. You know?
Wow.
Isn't that something? I know.
That's great.
Well, you know, I am a prophet, and God really does show me things way ahead of time, you know, and He'll show me things that I have no reason to know, and then somehow later on they get confirmed. My grandparents were both very, very Orthodox Jews, you know, with a long beard and studying the Bible day and night, you know. So you're talking to a Sabra who was never going to accept Jesus in her life, and God had another
wow.
plan. And you know
God had a plan.
God had a What caused you to love Israel and to be interested in biblical prophecy about Israel?
My friend and mentor was a man by the name of Dr. Linfield Crowder.
Yes.
And he took 54 tours to Israel.
Yes.
My tour guides that I know believe that he was better than most of the tour guides.
Oh.
And he's a preacher.
Oh, okay.
Just mm-hmm. a quick story. This man that's my mentor, and I have permission to talk about this, in 1989,
yes.
Tim LaHaye was hanging around with a gentleman by the name of Bob Smith.
Yeah.
Tim LaHaye said to Bob Smith, I would like you to sit down with me and go over Bible prophecy. And Bob Smith said,
yes.
I'm not the person to talk to, but I have a friend by the name of Linfield Crowder. And so they got together at a hotel and spent 2 days.
Yes.
And Dr. Crowder explained his view on Bible prophecy and the second coming and the tribulation and everything.
Wow.
And at the end of that time, Bob
yes.
Smith, and Bob Smith told this to me personally, and he got permission from Tim LaHaye for me to say this.
Yes.
Bob Smith said to Tim LaHaye, what are you going to do with all this information?
Yes.
He said, oh, I'm going to write a book or two.
Mention some of the books by Tim LaHaye. Many younger people
well,
don't know.
Well, the last time I looked, he's had 3 movies, but the last
yes.
time I looked, there was 24 books.
Yeah.
And Left Behind.
Yeah.
And that Left Behind series.
Right.
And so forth.
Talking
Tim
about
LaHaye
the rap.
Credits
yes.
with my friend and mentor, and I have a lot of his teaching on Bible prophecy. He passed away in 2010.
He did.
But,
oh my!
But
yeah.
I've got that. It's like that DNA in me.
Yes.
From him about Bible prophecy. He taught me to love Israel.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. And
wow. mm-hmm.
he just 54 tours to Israel.
Wow.
In his
wow.
lifetime.
Wow.
And so that's where I got that from.
Oh, that, yes, good. What I would like to say is, you know, it's one thing to just take a regular tour, you know, and you have tour guides and they just talk about the, you know, geography and a little bit the history. It's another thing to go with someone like you, Pastor Bill, who can give them the history from the biblical point of view and showing them how the
yes.
country today, right, fits into the Bible.
Yes.
Oh,
the other thing that's important on our tours is
Yes.
We only have one busload at a time.
Yes.
So you're with the tour leader the whole time instead of being on another bus. And we don't have any evening meetings.
Oh, so people can rest, you mean, or go and do whatever they want, or...
We get on the bus at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Yes.
We have lunch somewhere out there. You have a full buffet breakfast, full buffet dinner.
Yes.
And dinner's done by 6 or 6:30, and you can go to bed.
So people can rest, in other words, between... Because it's a big, big travel.
Right.
Yeah. Does the tour include...
We don't tire people out with meetings.
Right. What does the tour include? Is it flight from New York or from the West Coast? Or?
Well, like the flight right now, we can, if somebody contacts me, we'll do it according to each city.
Okay.
Typically, out of New York right now, it's $2,900.
Yes.
And that includes airfare, food, hotel, tips, everything, all
that's
inclusive.
That's fantastic. That's fantastic. And it's for 10 days?
The flight out of Seattle in November, out of the West Coast, is $3,300. It's $400 more, or $3,299. It's actually only $300 more.
Yes.
But it's out of Seattle instead of being out of New York.
So which is very reasonable.
We can adjust it depending on what city people are coming from.
Oh, that's great. Let me give your email address again, and then I'd like you to talk whatever else is on your heart in the few remaining minutes we have. To contact Pastor Bill, especially to either get the Bible tidbits from him and or especially to go on that trip on November 19, please contact him at his email, Whidden, W-H-I-D-D-O-N, .Bill, B-I-L-L, at gmail.com. That's Whidden, .Bill, at gmail.com. Pastor Bill, what would you like to say for the remaining minutes? What would you like to say to the people?
I would like to talk for just a moment about Genesis chapter 15.
Yes.
I call Genesis chapter 15 the golden text of the Old Testament.
Oh, wow. And why?
I don't have time to read it. I'm going to be teaching on this on Monday night here in Everett, but this is the golden text, promised seed and promised land.
Yes.
The God that cannot lie and the God that will not die made a covenant unto death.
Yes.
He promised the seed of Abraham a piece of property.
Yes.
And that there would be a seed, a group of people that would occupy that land.
Yes.
You can't talk about Israel or Abraham without talking about the promised seed and the promised land.
Wow.
But God tells in Genesis chapter 15 and 17, God told Abraham, you're going to have descendants as the stars of the heaven, and you're going to have descendants as the sea of the sand, sand of the sea. And some people don't understand why God can have two covenants.
Yes.
It's kind of like, you know, if somebody has a car loan, they might have it at one bank, and they might have their home loan at another bank.
Amen. Exactly.
They have two agreements. They make payments to two different banks, but one doesn't do away with the other.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
So God has the physical descendants of Israel, and we have seen in our lifetime, we've seen them come back to that destitute land that Mark Twain talked about.
Yes.
And it's flourishing. It's blossoming as a rose.
Like and the Bible says,
he also has the heavenly seed, which is the church. But the church does not take the place of Israel. And Israel doesn't take the place of the church.
Exactly. But Jews still have to accept Jesus in their lives, don't they? Right?
That's right. In other words, in chapter 15 of Genesis, God cut the covenant with Abraham.
Yeah.
An Old Testament theophany, that's when the Lord Jesus Christ appeared in the Old Testament. For instance, the three Hebrew children, the king looked in and said, didn't we put three people in there? Well, there's four now, and one's like under the Son of God. Jesus appeared in the Old Testament. When Jacob wrestled against the angel, he wrestled against the Lord Jesus Christ. Three incarnation appearances of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Oh,
and he cut the covenant. And God has made another covenant that he's cut with us. That's the blood of his son.
Yes.
And every person listening to this program today, if they do not know the Lord Jesus Christ and his redemptive power of the blood that was shed, it wasn't just that he died.
Yes.
The Bible says without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin.
Amen.
It was the blood that was shed. Just like Rahab the Redeemed back in the book of Judges. By faith, she believed in the scarlet thread of redemption, and she was redeemed. I call her Rahab the Redeemed, not Rahab the Harlot.
Amen.
She was redeemed 3,500 years ago. Why do we still? And she was grafted in to where she became the great-great-great-grandmother of David.
Yes, I do know that.
She was grafted into the royal family.
Amen. You know,
because her husband's uncle was Aaron.
Yes, wow. We have to go. You have so much, Pastor Bill. When you come back from Israel, I would like to have you on the show again. Okay?
I thank you so much, Judge Eve.
Thank you so much. God bless you. Have a blessed trip, and people, contact Pastor Bill, Whitten.Bill@gmail.com. Love you all. Love you, Pastor Bill. God bless you. And thank you so much for a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful program. Hevenu shalom alechem, hevenu shalom alechem, hevenu shalom alechem, hevenu shalom, shalom, shalom alechem, hevenu shalom alechem, hevenu shalom alechem, hevenu shalom alechem, hevenu shalom, shalom, shalom alechem. Hevenu shalom, shalom, shalom aleichem.